Break from the gospel series, and since tonight's our annual meeting, we're going to look a little bit at vision and not so much vision, mission, values, all that kind of stuff, but just a bit of a burden to have on my heart for us and where I'd like to see us heading. But I just want to give us a little refugee update, refugee family. If you come tonight, you'll hear more extended version, and in the coming weeks we'll be able to share a little bit more. But so please come tonight if you're interested at all in hearing a little bit more about a refugee family. But at the reason I'm sharing this now is at the close of the service, our refugee family, the Altawals, will be here. So they're coming to a lunch here with the refugee team. So it's not an open lunch or anything like that. But they'll be here for a lunch, and we want to take a chance just as a congregation to welcome them. So at the close of the service, we're going to welcome them. I'll introduce their names. They're just going to be at the back so we don't parade them all along the front or anything like that. That's uncomfortable and a little bit weird. And we'll get a chance to thank them and welcome them. And so as you're leaving, feel free to say hi to them. They don't speak English. Esma will be back there. A smile and a hello goes a long way. And so I know a number of people have said, you know, will we get a chance to greet them or let's get a bit of an update. Now, they've had a very difficult week. Muhammad, the father, if you don't know, came to Canada sick, and through a number of tests and doctor's visits this week, they confirmed that there is cancer and he's in palliative care. So it's very, very serious. So we need to be praying for them. And in fact, we'll take some time to pray for them while they're here. And so I want to call us to some prayer and fasting. So the leadership, nobody knows about this. This is just something on my heart. This Wednesday, we'll send out some reminders. If you could take even a meal or fast from something, if it's not food, if you've got health stuff, put something else away and spend some time praying for two people. First of all is Muhammad Altawal that we just shared about. And secondly is Sonia Miller, who's been in hospital since more than a year now in hospital. And so if you could take some time that day or the whole day and pray and fast for healing and for God to do some major work in these families where there's just, it's just very, very difficult. And there's little hope apart from him. All right, I'm going to change gears quite a bit. I need three volunteers. So you have to be able to do some like building spatial stuff. So let's see, is John Vermette, you're back there. You're up. Let's see. And you get to pick what station. So there's three stations here that we can do. Let's see. Oh, we've got a hand. Come on up. Colleen. Yeah, there we go. And Kyle, you're good. Come on. All right. So give them a hand before they come. So you gotta pick your station, all right? Yeah, that's a good one for you. Oh, careful, those are hot. Okay, these are hot glue guns. So what I want you to do while I do my introduction, okay, so we got John, Kyle, and Colleen, is you need to make a house, and you've got about a minute. As best you can, make a house. So over here, we've got a pack of cards. Over here, we've got some construction paper and pipe cleaners, and over here, we got popsicle sticks and glue guns. You got a minute. Go. All right. So, we're going to take a break, as I said, from gospel. We're going to talk about something that I'm quite passionate about. I'm not going to share explicitly, as I said, about any type of country, vision, mission, breed, love, serve, any of that kind of stuff. But this morning, we want to talk about something that I really have a desire for. In fact, I spent a great deal of time looking at this while I was away on sabbatical. And I went to churches. I interviewed pastors. I read a number of books. I listened to podcasts. I talked to other church leaders, and I also sent out emails to different churches in the region about this one thing. And over the past few months, it's become increasingly clear to me that this is a really important issue for us at Country Hills. And it's community. Community. What is community? Why should we bother? How do you nurture it? And I know it matters to us, because whether we use the word community or connection, or getting to know one another. Over the past year, I've heard some really great stories of community forming, of connectedness and gathering. How's it going back there, guys? Whoa, that is some hardcore stuff back there. John's having some issues. All right, I've heard some wonderful stories, but I've also heard some heartbreaking stories of people who've tried their best to connect here, to build community, and haven't found it. And so I know it's something that's really, really important. So I'm going to give you your 10-second countdown. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, hands up. All right, so you can just leave that there. I'm going to unplug these. You guys can go have a seat, and we're going to let, good job. Thank you very much, John, Kyle, Colleen. And we're just going to leave that there for a minute. We'll get to back to that in a few minutes, so I'm sure you're wondering what that is. One of the things I center my life around, and one of the resources I use in my daily walk and with others as I disciple them, is something that was developed by a denomination over the past few years, and they've settled on the name The Way of Jesus. We've used it a number of times here. I've preached a whole sermon series on it about 3 years ago, but I use it regularly. I have a little card in my wallet. I talk about it when people I meet with people, and I call us to just some simple ways of living. All it is 7 statements that help us know how to follow Jesus. And so we call it The Way of Jesus. And here's the 7 statements. His life, I've begun following Jesus and then depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. His mission, I'm being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him too. His character, I'm learning to become like Jesus in my attitudes, my behaviors, and my character. His love, I'm learning to love God and love others. His teachings, I'm learning the teachings of Jesus and not just the teachings of Jesus, but in fact, the teachings of the whole Bible, God's Word. His disciples, I am helping someone and someone's helping me be a growing follower of Jesus. And I think the phrasing of that's changing a little bit, Gavin was saying. But the final one we want to focus on this morning is his community. I'm participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. There's a lot of stuff to unpack in just that one statement. So what does God say about community? Well, quite a bit. And when I use the word community, I'm not referring to the community out there. I'm talking about connectedness, community that you can build between people. So for this morning, there's so many passages we could look at, but we're going to look at just one this morning. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church, who's a very immature church. They have open, blatant sin that they overlook. Wonderful. Don't you want to be a part of that? They very much have favoritism based on social standing, class, position in the church. They look down on others, treat others poorly. They were disorderly. It was a zoo when you showed up there. Everyone did their own thing and you just kind of went home. And so Paul writes into this atmosphere. So very much sitting in rows and chairs and not speaking out and treating each other politely and welcoming each other. And all of those things were not a part of this church. And so Paul writes this, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit." Our connection with each other, whether you're old or young, male or female, no matter your ethnicity, where you grew up, your background, your history, if you're in Christ, we have one connection point, and that's the Holy Spirit. That you have made a decision to follow Jesus, and God's very Spirit is in you, and so you're connected together. We are one body with many parts. Verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand," that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I'm not a part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? As a church, it's referring to the people, not the building. As a church, we are one body, family, and we have many parts. And we're all unique. And one person can't say to another, "I wish I were more like you. I wish I had your position," or "I wish that I was who you were." They also can't say, "I don't need you." You know, it doesn't work like that. There is an equality, Paul says. God says, everybody gathered, if you are in Christ, doesn't matter what you think of yourself or your role in the church, you are equal. A pastor, a leader, an elder, a ministry leader, an upfront person who's a little bit louder and can be seen by others is no more important than the ones who quietly serve, who get food out, who pray on their own, who maybe can't be a part of programs and ministries. So we all have an equality. But in this equality, there's something to note. If a hand is burnt, right? Let's say you burn your whole hand. Does that affect you or just your hand? It affects all of you, doesn't it? Because you might have to go for some rehab. You might have to take time off work. You have to use your other hand. You can't type, play guitar, play sports, do the same things. You can't do the work around the house. That's maybe not so bad. But your hand changes everything. And it can also change your emotions. Because if your hand's burnt and you can't work, you can't do things, it can get really discouraging over time. And so Paul says, we can't look down on it, anything. Everyone's equal. We're all equal parts of one body. Verse 18, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So people are up front, people who are behind the scenes. You can't say we don't need you. No one person is more than important than another. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts don't need that special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and extra care are given those parts that have less dignity. Those who are weak need extra care. Those who are struggling, we guard, we take care of, so that the weak and those who are strong are on an even playing field and we have a role to play. We care for and guard those who are weaker, struggling, new. 25, this makes for harmony among members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body and each of you is a part of it. What happens when all these things work together? What happens when you see people as co-equals? When you understand that you are part of a bigger group because you are in Christ? What happens when you fulfill your part? Because it says, look, you are called. God places you, just as he places parts of the body in a certain configuration to work together, he places you here for a reason. And if one part's not doing its part, the rest of the parts can't do their part. You read me? You understand what I mean? If one part is neglecting its role, the whole is affected. We all are equal. We all are needed. We all have a part, whether you think it's big or small. And when all that works together, it creates harmony. Harmony and music, they work together. If it's proper harmony, it's inseparable. I mean, you can piece it apart, but it sounds weird if you just listen to one part or the other. It's meant to go together. And so there's this harmony, this cohesiveness, this working togetherness that we find when we have the mindset that we're equal, that we're one body, and that we're united, and that we have a part to play, not just because we attend, but because we're called to it. We're called to something. Harmony is a natural product of deeply connected churches. But we don't simply want to be a good-feeling, warm place with harmony and warm fuzzies, and it feels like a really good place, because the second part of verse 25 says this. This makes harmony among the members so that the members can care for each other. The reason we have harmony, the reason we want harmony, is so that we can care for one another. Not just pastors or elders or care team or those with gifts of hospitality and care and service and who are more mindful of others. That's really what we want in friendship, isn't it? That's what we're looking for. We all need relationship and friendship, and we look for that. And what we want is to be cared for. Someone cares for us. Someone cares that we are not around. Someone cares how we're feeling. Someone cares how we're doing. Someone cares where we're at in life. Someone cares to hear our stories. Someone cares to spend time with us. Someone just simply cares about us. And in a friendship, that's reciprocal. And so we want that kind of care. So let's look at these structures for a minute. And let's talk about how great they are. So, John had a pack of cards, and they are terrible cards. I know John. I play euchre with him. He's picky about his cards. Oftentimes when he plays, brings his own, don't you? Yeah, you know you do. He doesn't like them sticky or flimsy. I gave you garbage cards. Oh, and it fell down. So not a very good structure. Okay, all right. Guile. Which one? That one or this one? What am I looking at here? This one? All right. So this is a pretty good structure. That's right. Oh. So it's tied together. It's separate, but they're just kind of twisted together, right? It's okay. It's all right. Wow, that is a lot of glue, Colleen. I don't even know if I want to touch that. Oh, and it's affixed to the table. That is wonderful. Thank you for doing that. Now, here's the difference between all of these. Now, if I wanted to, I could be just as rough with that and smash it and all that stuff. I'm not going to. Here's the difference. These cards, though, you can build them in the structure. They won't stand very much. These pipe cleaners, though you can twist them together, won't last as long because there's nothing sticking them together. You've got parts, but no glue. In this, all right, in between each part, there is something else. There's something foreign, something separate to the actual part itself, and it's the glue. And its role is to stick things together. That's its purpose. And as a church, Paul says, our glue, I know in this passage he says it's the Holy Spirit, but I'm just going to broaden that. Jesus is the glue, okay? Jesus is the glue here. So why don't we act like this all the time? If Jesus is the glue, if we're glued together because of Christ, not because of me or anything I do or even the sign out there or even attending a certain church, if every Christian is glued together by Jesus, and when we gather in bodies called the church, it's people, not the building, why don't we act like we are stuck together, like we have deep relationships? Why don't we live like we're in community? Because the world around us has a different kind of glue. Their glue is affinity. Affinity is a similarity or something in common. So what happens is people join a sports team or gardening club, or they live close to each other, or they work in the same office. You have all these commonalities that you have. And that's okay, right? Softball teams, sports teams, gardening clubs, where you live, people who like the music you listen to, people who like the movies that you watch, people who are like you. That's okay. But what happens to the glue when there's some distance? What happens if you hurt your leg and you can't run the bases anymore, right? So you can come out after you're cared for and you can sit on the bench and watch the games for a little bit, but after a while that gets boring. And so you go home and your team probably comes around for the first little bit, don't they? But then there's games and there's stuff to do and life happens, and eventually 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road, because you don't have that affinity, you're not attending that thing, the connection is lost. So we might keep it with a few, but it's not as strong as it was. Okay, let's say you are really close with your neighbors, and then you move houses. You say you're going to keep getting together. You think you're going to be together every night, like you used to, and barbecues and all this stuff, but life just kind of happens, and once a week turns to once a month and turns to, hey, we better get our schedules out, and boy, I miss seeing you all the time. It just happens. You change jobs, you change marital status. So you're going to some sort of a couples group and something happens in your marriage. And suddenly you're not invited to the couples times anymore. Suddenly you're not invited to the family gatherings. Affinity is natural. Affinity, there's some common things that glue us together. And they're okay. And it's not that that's bad. But as a church, That's what a lot of our glue is, isn't it? And it's not bad. So we have small groups, same age, same stage. We have student ministries. We have sports teams, worship teams. We have photography club. We have all these different things you can go to try and have a sense of community. But generally, they're based on affinity. And if that's the only glue, when you can't attend, when your interests change, when something goes different, the glue is less sticky. The glue is less sticky. We are in Christ. He is the living glue. We're family and we're connected because we're united in Christ. Our connection to each other can never be stronger or weaker. Let me say that again. Our connection can never be stronger or weaker. You can live in it better, but it can never be stronger or weaker because it's in Christ. In fact, we are more related to each other as Christians, those who've decided to follow Jesus. We are more related to us than our family, our blood relatives, your wife, your kids, your parents, your siblings. You're literally more related. You're more connected. You have more glue between you than biology, upbringing, adoption, anything like that. You are stuck together. Jesus is the glue. So we begin with belief. We begin with the belief that I am a part of a body. And I am connected to you through the glue that's Jesus. And I'm no better than you, doesn't matter what position or role. And that if I'm not fulfilling my role, if I'm not really a part of things, you lose. If you don't do your part, I lose. Because in a body, a part that stops working affects everything else. But here's the cool part. It's not a guilt trip, stop working. It's those parts that are weaker, those parts that need care, those parts that can't quite play their part the way they used to. We treat with honor and care. Isn't that a great thing? Isn't that a different kind of community? But how do you move from belief, so I can believe all these things, and maybe you've been in the church and you've heard this sermon before, maybe 100 times. One body, many parts. Got it. Thanks. When's lunch? Right? Here's the difference. All right? It starts with belief. You've got that. Okay? I've given that to you. Hopefully you believe that. Okay? And if we all do this, it can create harmony and care. That's what we want to see. Everybody caring for everybody. Yes, pastors, elders, care team, people with the gifts of care. Yes, we got to do our part. That's part of our part. But we all are called to pray and witness, care for each other. But where is Paul going in this? The next chapter, which his letter wasn't written in chapters, is probably one of the most famous parts of all the Bible. You've heard it in weddings. It comes in Valentine's Day cards that are sold from Christian bookstores. It comes in Valentine's Day cards that are sold at the superstore and Hallmark and wherever else you go. People know at least parts or have been exposed to, most people, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You know what? It has that much to do with love between a man and a woman. Nothing. It's applicable. But Paul is writing to this hot mess church who, like, they gather and they talk over one another when they're having a love feast. They get drunk. They don't share with the poor. They do crazy stuff all the time. And Paul says, that can't be. You're together. You're equal. You all have parts. Here's how to have orderly worship. And let me show you the best way to move from belief to harmony and care, which is community. The most excellent way is love. The most excellent way is love. Romans 12 is like the unknown love chapter. The last half of Romans 12. We'll just read 2 verses here. Paul writes, don't just pretend to love each other. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Isn't that great? Don't just pretend to love each other. Actually do it. That's the difference. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly what's good. Love each other with genuine affection. It's not enough to go, yeah, I go to Country Hills Church, and there's some people, and I know a few names, and some of them are nice, and some of them I don't like. And you have to love each other with genuine love. That's not something teaching or belief can do, but it's something that the Holy Spirit, who connects us together, can do. When we have genuine love for one another, harmony and care happen. Don't just pretend to love. Actually love with genuine affection. So let me just summarize a few things before we look at some applications. So if we take both these passages and lump them together, if we realize that we're deeply connected to one another in Christ, that he's our glue, And if we view each other as equal parts of the same body of Christ and fulfill our parts, everyone connected. I'm not using this out of context to say you better be serving. I'm just talking about who you are. Yes, we serve. We're going to get to that. There's stuff that we do as people in our giftedness, in our uniqueness, as a part of the body. A hand isn't much use if it just sits there. It's got stuff to do. There is stuff to do. But at least on a belief standpoint, we have to view each other as equal parts of the same body, united in Christ, co-equal with a thing to do. And we treat the weaker, the struggling, the less visible parts with honor, and we guard them and we protect them. If we do those things, then here's what happens. It will create harmony. And that harmony will allow for an atmosphere where tangible, it's an important word, tangible community, tangible love, tangible care, and connections can happen. We will actually care for one another. As we serve together in the body, when we're together, and where we scatter, here's where that serving part comes in. Let's say you've got someone you know who doesn't know Jesus, and you've been trying to share Christ with them, praying for them for a long time. You're showing genuine godly love towards this person. Let's call him Bill, all right? And so you're being genuinely caring towards Bill. You're open to discussions and sharing your faith. And eventually, Bill starts to warm up, and you start to see change, and Bill decides, I want to know more about Jesus. Maybe even makes a decision with you long before he even connects here. So he experiences that, and he's reading the Bible and reading about what it should be like, and then he shows up in a church. People don't really know each other. Kind of greet him, but kind of not. And he sees all this stuff in God's Word, and it's not played out. We are Jesus' skin. Okay, we're Jesus with skin on. And having harmony and care and genuine love for one another is just basics. It's like the basics of doing anything. If we want to have a hope of making an impact in the world, we have to get this down. Doesn't matter how great our programs are. Doesn't matter how passionate we are about serving. This sense of community, it's not just navel-gazing, churchy-centric, looking inward type of stuff. Because the purpose of it is that we care for one another so we can care for the world. We care for one another and take care of each other's needs, apart from programs, just in who we are, so that we can invite and welcome others into this family because they're connected to us through the glue that is Jesus. Here's what it looks like. When someone's hurting, they get calls and cards and meals and care. When someone loses someone, people show up to a funeral and visitation and offer to do whatever they can. When someone's sick, you offer to go to their home. You offer to do whatever you can. When someone's has something great happen in their life, you rejoice with them. You come alongside. It takes some time, but it takes care. It takes a lot of care. What keeps us from community? What keeps us from community? I think there's two extremes here. One is selfishness and comfort, and the other is fear and passivity. Let me talk about these for a minute, just in our context here. I think there are some here who are very comfortable. Maybe been here for a while, maybe not. But you're kind of happy. You know a few people. Things are going good, you know. You come to a few things. You used to go to more. You kind of come once in a while. You do the greeting time thing. But you don't really leave an open seat at a potluck. You don't really invite someone to something. You don't really, you know, make time to go to something here that might connect you with someone. You don't invite people over to your home or go out for meals. You're not really connected that much. It's okay. You're okay, but you're comfortable. And if you wonder if that's you or not, as I've been sharing about community, if you've thought in your heart, I think we got a pretty good church here and we got a pretty good community, that's probably you. Because I don't think we have a very good community here. I think we have pockets. I think we have wonderful pockets. So I'm not going to downplay that. I'm going to say everything's doom and gloom and we're horrible and pastor got up and really hammered us over the head that Sunday. So there's some wonderful things happening in pockets. But when I look at what Paul is saying for a church as a whole, yes, thank you that you're not sleeping with your mother-in-law, getting drunk at communion time, that you're not speaking out all service, that you're not doing some of the things that the Corinthian church was doing. But we're just a little more proper and tidy in Canada, and we kind of keep to ourselves. And there's a lot of people who are very lonely. One of the themes that come up in my time over the past year, especially with men, is that they're desperately lonely and don't know how to make a friend, don't know, even know where to find one, or have tried here and been rejected. I've heard of people going to an event, welcomed, invited, come be here, meet some people, and completely ignored when they arrive. Now, it's not everyone, but it's some, and some is enough. What I see is that we have a great connection because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with your age, your stage, your race, socioeconomic stuff, how gifted you are in one way or another, if you get up front or if you don't. If you come to everything or come to nothing, it has nothing to do with that at all. Nothing to do with programs. And there's nothing wrong with having things work well and staff and having enough money to do whatever we want to do. That's all good. But those are all secondary. Those are all secondary. If we can't have a great sense of community here, and there are pockets when we welcome others, especially those who are searching, and maybe that's you this morning, it's going to be very, very difficult. So that's the one extreme. The other extreme is fear and passivity. And that's those who know they need to get connected and want to, and you're just afraid to. Often guests or newer people are that way. And it takes both. We've got to have people who are inviting and people who are taking that step of faith to try and build a relationship. Remember, this is different than building just a simple friendship, right? We're already connected. There's no work to do there. Now, it's going to be easier if you have affinity together. That it's just going to feel better. But if that's the only glue we have, it fades and wanes. You can sit down with any other follower of Jesus and have something in common that's deeper than with anyone else. You can share faith stories. You can pray together. There's this level of care that you can have for one another. It doesn't matter if you know someone, to write a card, send a meal, give a phone call, go to a funeral visitation, help when someone says, help, come, we've had this disaster, come and do this thing. You don't have to know them. You don't have to be friends, but you're family. For each person, it's going to look a little different. So let me give you some ideas of how that might look. What might that look like? How can we claim Jesus is our glue if we're not leaning into each other? It's one thing to have glue. That's great. We have glue, right? It's another to have parts. But in order for it to work, you have to lean in. The glue has to connect, right? So we have to have opportunities where we connect. Now, I'm not saying you have to come to every program or anything. I'm not talking about that. You need to find what works for you, and there's a few healthy things. Man, a small group's going to be amazing. Or if not an official small group, a smaller group of people you can depend on. You've got to have your people. You need people. Some sort of accountability relationship. Someone who's closer to you, who you can talk about the tough stuff. Those are two really important things. Coming to church and being taught and being with the wider body can encourage us and introduce you to other people. And then there's lots of great teaching opportunities and service opportunities, but getting on board with serving beside someone, right? So here's some ideas for you. Okay, first of all, first and foremost, stay for coffee after church. Okay, stack a chair, say hello, don't run out. I know we're scary, but just hang out for a few minutes. All right? I'm sure not everyone has to be home by noon every Sunday. That's first step. I'm serious. I know it's funny. You'd be amazed how much that does. Honestly, I've talked with people who, as a church, we've come a long way. People used to not stay at all. And now there's some who we say, do you have a key? Because I'm going, and that's a good thing. That's great. Stay for coffee. Stack some chairs. Visit with people. Okay, go for a coffee. Go out after church. Go to a restaurant. Have a meal with someone. Someone you don't know or someone you kind of haven't connected with in a while. Just go and eat together. Because some people are like, my house. I can't have people in my house. It's horrible. You haven't seen my house. Fine, go out. Other people are like, yeah, I'd love to have people in. Pick someone. If you don't want to do a meal because it's a big deal, say, come with your kids at 6:30. I will have a bag of chips and tap water. It will be wonderful. We get so caught up in this affinity thing that we have to do just the right things. And it really holds us back. Better to just take a step. What happens if you connect with someone and you don't really, you know, you don't hit it off? It's okay. You're still connected. You still know them. You can still serve alongside them. They may not be the one you share your deepest, darkest secrets with, but you can pray for them and you can know them. As we grow, you're not going to know everyone, but you at least need to have that smaller group. So go out or have into your home. Set up a play date with your kids, okay? With your 17-year-olds. Set up a play date, right? Set up something with your families that you can do. Serve somewhere. If you can't volunteer to a regular thing, come May 7th. Community cleanup. Yes, we're doing something together, right? For our community and some things in the church. There's something to do. But that's what living on mission is all about. You have a purpose every day God's called you to as your part. Sometimes you go and do that with others. Sometimes it's on your own. But while you're doing that with others, you have a great opportunity to just see what God might do. Maybe they have a need you can care for. Maybe you have a need that they can care for. Maybe you just need a friend. Maybe God's ordained that. Maybe you don't know what this person would be like in your life because you need that. Volunteer somewhere. Clean up. Come to the candy carnival. Serve at a booth. Do anything alongside others. If you can't do that regularly, we have lots of one-off things. Make some time. Attend something new. So you can give, but you can also receive. Seminar, something we host, something for you, a photography group, a small group, another opportunity where you don't have to lead or put in or serve at all. You just attend with others. That's a great opportunity. So we did this last year, and we had maybe about 10 people do this. Okay, so I have high expectations for 12. No, for more. All right? This is our May challenge, okay? During the month of May, I want to see everyone do this. One thing, okay? One thing. I'll just go to here. This is our one thing. Begin to nurture community by actually loving others. So that's our one thing, okay? That's the one thing. That's it. That's the application for the sermon. It'll look different for all of you. Find one thing to begin to nurture community here by actually loving others with one tangible thing. So here's, I'm going to jumpstart us, okay? The May challenge. Either go out or come into your home with someone you don't know or someone you don't know that well or you haven't connected with in a while, okay? Have them into your house, have a coffee, have chips and tap water, whatever you want. Or if that's not okay for you, just on a Sunday morning, say, hey, I'm going to Wendy's. The value meal is fabulous. Would you join me? See, it's not difficult. Sometimes we think, oh my goodness, we got to have this big deal. Who cares? Kids are running around being crazy. Doesn't matter. Grab a lunch. Go outside. Do something. Have someone in or go out that you haven't with and see how it goes. We'd love to hear stories about that. And when we begin doing this more regularly, I'm not just meaning the meals and stuff like that, just being connected, actually loving one another. That will nurture a community. How do you go from belief to care? You actually love. Love is the most excellent way. And we teach a lot about love, and love's a feeling, and love's a verb, and love's this. Just find one thing. Just one thing to try. Just try one thing. Find someone you don't know, you're not that connected with, and see how it goes. His community. I am participating. So here's our way of Jesus phrase. I am participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. What does that mean? I am participating. I'm doing something. I'm volunteering or serving or attending or having someone over my home or praying where I can't do that. You don't have to do a ton of stuff. 80% of the people are doing 20% of the stuff. 20% of the people doing 80% of the stuff. Let's do that. 80% of the people, no. 20% of the people tend to do 80% of the stuff. 20% of the people tend to give 80% of what's needed to do ministry. And that doesn't have to be, because we're all in this together. And you can cue the high school musical music if you know that song. We are. We're all one body, and we're many parts. But a body doesn't work if parts refuse to be connected. Let me ask you this. If, this is gross, all right? If there's a body and all the parts are laid out, but they're all there, should be functional, but they're all kind of laid out. They could even be close to one another. What is that body? Dead. Dead. Where there's no community, it's dead. What you do in your quiet time, how you connect with Jesus affects what happens when we gather. Not just church service, everything else. And what we do here affects you there. You want to know sometimes why things feel dead when you gather a small group or sometimes on a Sunday morning? Because we're dead. We're not connected. We're not connected into Jesus. What you do out there matters in here. What we do in here matters out there. We are connected already. And you need to live that way because that's where you find life. We're dead if we don't. And we can't hope to have an effect or impact on our community unless we're alive and have some life in some way, shape, or form. So I encourage you to nurture community by actually loving others. Write it down. Write it down. Now, if you got a phone, if you got a pen, you got a paper, you have 30 seconds to figure out what one way, what one person, what one thing you're going to do. Write it down. If you can't write it down, tell someone before you get home. If you came with a spouse or a family member, tell them, this is what I think God wants me to do. If you didn't come with anyone at all, come tell me before you go. It's all well and fine to be really stirred by a message and think, this is wonderful. I hope there's community. I hope sometime somebody invites us. You decide right now what you're going to do. Can be anything. Go to IKEA, get a hot dog, whatever. Doesn't matter. Find some way to connect with other people. You got it? Did you write it down? And so, you've got May. Do it. And let's just see what might happen. It's a little bit of an experiment. Let's just see what might happen. Because I'm convinced that, man, things are going to be so much better. Now, there's pockets of community, right? There is. But what if we could be not just a church where most new people in the past 4 years say, man, such a welcoming first week, second week, so open, warm, friendly. You know, some people hate the welcoming time, some people don't. But then say, it's really hard to connect. Most people say that about us. And that's who we are. And so I want to see that change. That's not just warm, fuzzies, harmony, but it's care, and it's love, and it's community. I'm not sure if our they're on their way. Excellent. Yeah, that's right. So I can stall for a little bit if we'd like. Oh, I'm done. I don't have anything more. I'm finished. Well, let me pray, and then we'll wait for the family to come. You can visit with each other. And we want to welcome them big. I wish we had like banners and balloons and all sorts.